Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible, and we're in the 10th chapter of Leviticus. Let's ask the Lord to anoint this chapter and bring it into our hearts as it is, not with any strange fire, anything that is false, but with the Holy Spirit, the real fire from the Lord. The Lord casts out devils by the Holy Spirit. The Lord mortifies our flesh with His Spirit. This is the fire that mortifies our flesh and causes us to be holy and perfect as the Lord commands for us to be. He said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And He wants us to be perfect without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Otherwise, there's no way. He said it's impossible to enter the kingdom of heaven because there's no sin that will enter the kingdom of heaven. No spot, no wrinkle, no strange fire. Anything other than the Lord is strange, is evil, and cannot enter heaven. God doesn't want, He wants everything that is to Him familiar. He wants only sons and daughters in the kingdom of heaven. When we accept the real fire of the Lord into our heart, the real Spirit of God, that is the Spirit that comes into us, immediately says, "Father, Abba." And the Spirit knows the Lord. The Holy Spirit knows His self. And He knows in us who we are, that we're sons. And we are His people. We are, and He is our God. So, Lord, anoint us and draw us closer and closer, that we are Your people, a nation of priests that minister one to another, that make it a situation, Lord, where we are not only concerned about the people in our congregation, our immediate congregation or the local church, but there are people throughout the world that are Your people. And Lord, we're to be concerned about the entire body of Christ, because we all are one body. Lord, we ask that You unite us more and more by Your Spirit, by our keeping Your commandments, by our love, the love that is in You that is in us. Love is the keeping of God's commandments. That's the definition of love to You, is that we keep Your commandments. A person that says he loves me and keeps not my commandments, that is not a priest, that doesn't obey the law, to obey those that have that God has put rule over you, to not usurp authority, to not lie, steal, or cheat people. If we break those laws, and if we don't love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, mind, and our strength, and prefer others above ourselves, we're not part of Your kingdom. We're not part of Your priesthood, Your nation of priests. We're not new creatures. We're just exactly the old creature. The world is like that. And so, Lord, we're going to read now about the sins of Aaron's, two of Aaron's sons. And you stated in Your word in the New Testament, these are examples of what happens to people that disobey You. You are slow to anger, but when people do such defiance, so that try to imitate Your Spirit rather than being in the real Spirit, You put fire will come out from heaven and You'll destroy them, just as You have here. Those who lied to the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, they dropped dead immediately. Ananias and Sapphira, because they lied, they held something back. And the Lord, You wanted to show right from the beginning that You want the whole heart, the whole soul, the whole mind, and the whole strength. You hold anything back for Yourself. And Lord, we see by the testimonies in Your word, and there are our examples, that You lash out with them, to them, and you pull them out of the earth atmosphere and bury them deep into the earth. You yank their souls out and send them souls right into the very bowels, the depths of this earth, and later we'll throw them into the lake of fire. Seems harsh, but you don't want any strange fire. You're not going to let strange fire into your kingdom. So Lord, let us learn the lessons. Let us see what you did to these two young gentlemen that were your priests. And look at all the people today, Lord, that are claiming to be your priests, and they break one commandment after the other. Lord, let this serve as a warning to them that they must begin being zealous for your word, to be in the Spirit, and not to take any strange thing into them. Otherwise, fire will come out of heaven and destroy them as you did the two of the sons of Aaron. Lord, let us learn these lessons for our own welfare and for the welfare of others. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and everyone says amen. Okay, here's chapter 10, the book of Leviticus, and read the header first.
The sin of Nadab and Abihu.
Nadab and Abihu. These are the two sons of Aaron that sinned greatly before the Lord, and they were priests. Okay, go ahead.
King James Version, verse 1. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not.
Well, he commanded them not to do that, and they did it. What did they expect from the Lord? The Lord is more real than you and I. And yet, you and I are real. We're real people. We have real spirits in us. And the Lord is even more real because he put his Spirit in every living soul. And so what is he to do when you are rebellious and disobey him? Then what?
Verse 2, and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord.
Amen. Go ahead.
Verse 3, then Moses said unto Aaron, this is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified.
Right, now if you're going to come near to the Lord, then you have to be separate, sanctified, holy, pure. Otherwise you're an abomination to him, and you're a strange fire. And he's not going to suffer you to come to his throne and speak to him. And if you keep insisting on being evil and still wanting to pray to the Lord and to receive something from him, he'll spite you. He says so. And you better pay attention to what he says. Then what? This is Aaron's two sons. And he destroyed them immediately. All right, then what?
And Aaron held his peace.
He shut his mouth, in other words. He shut his mouth. Lord, why did you do that? No, he didn't come up with that. He already had built a golden calf for the people of Israel to worship. He even built an altar. And now he wasn't going to open his big fat mouth. A priest. Now all these people that claim to be Christians, they're priests if the Spirit of the Lord is in them, but they don't take the office of the priesthood. And so what is the Lord to do? They don't have fire to serve the Lord, but they have fire to do their own will. Strange fire is self, your own self, selfishness, serving self. That's what that is symbolic of. Not doing things God's way, doing I did it my way. And the Lord won't tolerate that. He's allowing you to hear these scriptures. It's obvious that many of you haven't read them before, and therefore you have sins of ignorance. But now it's time to hone up, because now you know. Go ahead.
Verse 4. And Moses called Mishael and Elzaphan, and the sons of Uzziel, the uncle of Aaron, and said unto them, Come near, carry your brethren from before the sanctuary out of the camp.
And the Lord even commands them not to mourn. Don't you even make one whimper about these two. These are sinners. You better not mourn, because if you do, I'll kill you. Don't even cry for this bunch of devils. Okay, then what?
Verse 5. So they went near and carried them in their coats out of the camp, as Moses had said. Verse 6. And Moses said unto Aaron, and unto Eleazar, and unto Ithamar his sons, Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die.
Yeah, don't rend your clothes. Oh, they died, and then rip your clothes. Not uncover your head or shave your head because they died. They deserved to die. God told them what to do, and they defiantly didn't do it. And don't you dare mourn unless you want to die. Then what?
Uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, and lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Translation, verse 1 through 6. The sin of Nadab and Abihu, verse 1. Now Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, put coals of fire in their incense burners, and sprinkled incense over it. In this way they disobeyed the Lord, by burning before him a different kind of fire than he had commanded.
Right. Now, a lot of people, the Bible says to obey those that have the rule over you. And then they know that God has called me in a very supernatural way and forced me to be a ruler. And then if you disobey, that's strange fire, because you're not doing what the Lord said. And then if a husband or if a wife doesn't listen to her husband, that's strange fire. That's this Women Lives movement. That's strange fire. That's totally the opposite of what the Lord says to do. Lesbianism is totally the opposite of what the Lord tells them to do. That's strange fire. These people are kindled by the fire of Satan rather than the fire of the Lord. Or homosexuality, that's strange fire. Or stealing, that's strange fire. Or lying, that's strange fire. Because the Lord is the truth, and his people, his priests, are tell the truth. They don't lie, even if it means that they get in a lot of trouble. They will not lie, even to their own hurt. They don't covet anything that anybody has, because they have the Lord. That means they've got everything. And if they do, they're offering strange fire unto the Lord. They don't commit adultery or fornication. They don't lust in their heart, because the Lord tells them not to. The Spirit of God is the power in them that keeps them, keeps their flesh subdued, mortified, deadened, to where they don't care to do those things anymore. They keep their mind stayed upon the Lord. And you can tell it, because you can feel the Spirit of God when they are explaining the Word of God. You know that there's something special about those kind of people. Now, he would tell me if my sons committed some awful sin and the Lord caused them to die. He said, don't mourn about that. You know what those people did. They weren't your sons anyway. I loaned them out to you to see how you'd raise them, to see if you would preach the fire of the Lord to them, and that you wouldn't allow them to walk in strange fire. So if they die, don't be shaving your head or rending your clothes or mourning over them, because they deserve everything they got from the Lord. And the same to anyone in this church, in the congregation. that if they're doing things that are against the word of the Lord, and they die or they catch some horrible disease, don't even mourn over them. The Apostle Paul said that he's not going to commend anybody or praise anybody when they're doing the wrong thing. The doctrine that is preached in the world today is false. Okay, let's go.
Verse 2. So fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died there before the Lord. Okay. Verse 3. Then Moses said to Aaron, quote, "This is what the Lord meant when he said, I will show myself holy among those who are near me."
Wait a minute, I thought this was a God of love. He says, and this is showing himself holy, is to kill somebody? Aaron's sons, after all the things that Aaron had done? What do you mean? That he built a golden calf for people to worship? That he went and told people a few things that the Lord had told him to tell people? Is that a lot of work? No. The book of Ezekiel tells us that if we do good, then we start doing evil, that all the good that we did doesn't make any difference if we did 100 years of good or 1,000 years of good if we were to live as long as they used to. Every good thing that you did is wiped away. There's no credit given to you for whatever you did that was good, and you are now evil. Okay, go ahead.
I will be glorified before all the people.
Right, and this is glorifying himself by killing sinful people that knew what to do and wouldn't do it. The Lord knew that they were going to just get worse and worse, because if they'd get by with that, that wouldn't be the end of it. They'd start having fornication with the women that come to the altar and ask the Lord to forgive them and seek the Lord. That's what they'd do. And so he'd have to kill them sooner or later anyway, so he knew, God knows the end of the thing before, at the same time at the beginning, so he just killed them. And no one is to question him and say to him, "What doest thou?" He knows what he's doing, all right? So I don't have any sympathy for people that I know that have done evil and they're cursed. And the Lord tells me, he's told me before, don't pray for that person. I was at a mission in downtown Los Angeles, Sister Jerry's mission. And there was this people down at the altar, and they were bums. There's a wino mission. And Sue and I were not bums. I mean, I was far from that. And I was down there after the service. I was praying with some of the men, some of the winos, down to the altar. And I started going over to this black man. I was still on my knees. And he says, "Don't come to me. Don't come to me." He says, "I done blasphemed the Holy Spirit." It's a black man. He says, and man, I felt the Spirit of the Lord before he even said it. It was warring against me. And I kept trying to get towards him. It's like the Spirit was pushing me away from him. And I was wondering what's wrong, and then it just came out of his mouth. He fessed up. He said, "I'd done blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and there's no repentance for me." And then one time I was praying for another boy that was dying. His name is Brian Bingham in the church. He was our best piano player. And piano players, out in the world are a dime a dozen. But there's not many of them in the church. And he was dying. He had something wrong with him, and nobody knew what it was. We sent him from one hospital to the other. Well, as it was, a bunch of West Hollywood police officers beat him over the head when he was down in our prayer room praying. And Pat Boone and Shirley Boone's two daughters were down there praying too, not at the same time. But they can testify that the police would come there, the sheriff department, and throw smoke bombs down into the prayer room. They were really giving us a lot of harassment. We've been through the knothole, back and forth, down through the years. These past almost 40 years for me, I've seen a lot of front line action in the Lord. And I'm not going to take anything from any person that is just a Johnny-come-lately that thinks that they can use this church for a crash pad. I mean, I've been through the fire. And some people just can't understand why I'm not more laid back and just won't acknowledge people that are sinning and so on and so forth. But anyway, we took him to all these different hospitals, and they didn't know, and finally they did an x-ray on him, and they saw that he had a tumor in his brain. And he was married to this woman that was no good. Everybody thought she was so beautiful and everything, but she was no good. She was... As a matter of fact, what happened later after he died, she got married to Ed Risha. And she had a little son named by Ed Risha, and she named him Benjamin. And she just took off with one of these people in the congregation, Ken Coffis. And they ran off together and just left the baby in the crib. And so Sue and I took the boy and started raising him. Well, they're still shacked up together. She walked out and committed adultery on Risha, and Ed Risha went astray because he just didn't have the fire of the Lord in him to stand, no matter what happens to him. I've had far worse than that happen to me many times down through the years, and nothing has caused me to waver in the Lord. But anyway, as Brian was dying in the hospital, I got a call from Don Wiley, and he says he was in the Pear Blossom out in that area hospital, and he says he's stopping breathing, and he's starting again as we yelling out to the Lord, "Lord, spare Brian," because Brian was my driver. I'm legally blind, and I need somebody to drive me around, and Brian was just a joy to be with. He was a good young man. And then the Lord put it was like a loop of barbed wire around my heart and says, "Don't you want him to go to heaven?" I said, "Yes, Lord." Then he said, "Stop praying for him to be healed." I said, "Yes, Lord." And I swear before God in the fire of the Lord that this is a true report that I'm giving you, and may God strike my soul dead right now and send my soul to hell. So sometimes the Lord takes people because he knows that that woman would have thrown his soul, and he was a good boy. He's only about 21 or 22 years old. And sometimes the Lord just strikes them dead because he knows they're rotten to the core and that they're never going to repent. The Lord made an example of a fruit tree, a fig tree. He was hungry, and the tree should have known that when the Messiah, the creator of all things, was coming towards him, that he should have bore some fruit. The Lord, all he'd have to just say is, "Bear fruit now," and the fruit would be there. Amen?
Amen.
Well, the tree saw him coming, and there was no fruit on the tree. It was just loaded with leaves, but no fruit. So the Lord cursed the tree, and when it came back just a few hours later, a few minutes later, or a few days later, the tree was dried up to the roots. People dasn't disobey God. If you're not bearing fruit, if you're not a soul winner, if you're not a priest that ministers the word to win souls, then what are you but just a phony freeloader at the church, loading yourself with the blessings of the Lord, the blessings that the Lord is sending in because of someone else and not you. You're a minus. You're not a plus. You're a deficit. Okay, so, I mean, I'm just telling you sometimes these things crop up in my mind. I have so many examples that I could tell you about those that died because they were not fruitful. And they were like, they just walking around in their own steam, stalking around acting like there's somebody. God never sent me here to learn from you. He sent me here for you to learn from me, all right? And that's what I'm doing, teaching. There's not one of you that has anything unless God has told you something There's not one of you that's ever taught me the Bible, all right? I'm here to tell you. And I know my position. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you the truth. I didn't want this job. But now that I've got it, and I know that the Lord wants me to have it, I'm going to do it. To the very cuter. Right to the very nth degree. Okay, so go ahead. Read some more.
And Aaron was silent.
He shut his face. Then what?
Verse 4. Then Moses called for Mishael and Elzaphan, Aaron's cousins, the sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel. He said to them, quote, come and carry the bodies of your relatives away from the sanctuary to a place outside the camp, unquote.
Kind of sounds like Sapphira, amen?
Amen.
And her husband, amen?
Amen.
They dropped dead immediately too, because they lied to the Holy Spirit. And they held back. They were thinking that maybe we'll fall away from the Lord and we won't give everything we've got like the rest of these chumps are doing here. Everyone that says that they gave all that they had and they laid it down at the apostles' feet and they doled it out as the people had need, but not these two. They must have figured, well, we're here for a while, maybe we'll wind up not liking the camp here. And we'll just save some back here to make it a little bit softer on us when we go back out into the world, out into Satan's country. And the Lord killed them, both the man and wife. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 5. So they came forward and carried them out of the camp by their tunics, as Moses had commanded. Verse 6. Then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, quote, do not mourn by letting your hair hang loose or by tearing your clothes. If you do, you will die.
Yeah, these are things that people did when somebody would die and they would be mourning for them. They put a sackcloth and they hang their hair loose and they rend their clothes and they put ashes on their head and all these things. Lord wouldn't have any of that, not with these two. Okay, then what?
Do not mourn by letting your hair hang loose or by tearing your clothes. If you do, you will die, and the Lord will be angry with the whole community of Israel. However, the rest of the Israelites, your relatives, may mourn for Nadab and Abihu, whom the Lord has destroyed by fire. King James Version, verse 7. And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die.
Yeah, because the priests were actually the relatives of Aaron. Or the ones that were the immediate family of Aaron, not cousins and so on. Okay, and then what? But the priests had to stay in. They weren't to mourn them. Okay, then what else?
And ye shall not go out from the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. For the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. And they did according to the word of Moses. Verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, Verse 9. Do not drink wine, nor strong drink, thou, nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations.
Yeah, don't be drinking liquor and try to minister unto the Lord. The Bible says that the priests are not to do that. And now in these last days, we as the priesthood of the Lord, and he's the high priest, and we are a nation of priests, we're to be instant in and out of season. We're to be ministering at any given time. Somebody might come knocking on the door. And we're not to be involved with liquor or drugs or any such thing as that. Okay, then what?
verse 10. And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. Verse 11. And that ye may teach the children of Israel all the statutes which the Lord hath spoken unto them by the hand of Moses. Translation, verse 7 through 11. But you are not to leave the entrance of the tabernacle under penalty of death, for the anointing oil of the Lord is upon you. So they did as Moses commanded. Instructions for priestly conduct. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Aaron, verse 9, you and your descendants must never drink wine or any other alcoholic drink before going into the tabernacle. If you do, you will die. That's very plain, in brackets.
Right, and we're supposed to be in the tabernacle, into Jesus, and so therefore not to drink wine. And he's in us, amen?
Amen.
And we're to be instant in and out of season, to preach the word, and no one is going to believe the things that you're saying if there's liquor on your breath. Amen?
Amen.
Or we saw a minister the other day that looked like he was drugged out of his mind. His name is T.D. Chase. You could tell he's slurring his words, and we've watched him several times, and that has never happened before. And he's just like, he's the one that said, it's all, if you go to New York, how can you call yourself a New Yorker if you haven't been to the Broadway shows and experienced the different clubs and things like that? The man is just as haywire as a goose. Okay, then what?
This is a permanent law for you, and it must be kept by all future generations. Verse 10. You are to distinguish between what is holy and what is ordinary, what is ceremonially unclean and what is clean. Verse 11. And you must teach the Israelites all the laws that the Lord has given through Moses.
Yeah, see, now the priests are to teach everyone. That is the New Jerusalem, the spiritual Israelites. You're supposed to be teaching everybody in the church. It says, read that again.
And you must teach the Israelites all the laws that the Lord has given through Moses.
But we don't have anybody in our church. No one can name anybody that would be a good older Christian. They say, well, you, sir. Well, but then that means that I'm part of the body of Christ. There's a lot of people in the world that are like me. But what about in this church? Is there such another one in this church? Well, if you want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you better start being that way, because you can see that that's the way it is. That's a direct disobedience to the Lord if you won't do everything in your power to convince these baby Christians, these new converts, of the law of God and all the different things that you've been taught. You better get busy. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 12. And Moses spake unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar his sons that were left, take the meat offering that remaineth of the offerings of the Lord made by fire, and eat it without leaven beside the altar, for it is most holy. Verse 13. And ye shall eat it in the holy place, because it is thy due, and thy sons' due, of the sacrifices of the Lord made by fire, for so I am commanded. Verse 14. And the wave breast and heave shoulder shall ye eat in a clean place, thou and thy sons and thy daughters with thee, for they be thy due and thy sons' due, which are given out of the sacrifices of peace offerings of the children of Israel. Verse 15. The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat, to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord. And it shall be thine and thy sons with thee, by a statute forever, as the Lord hath commanded. Verse 16.
Right, we're to put the yoke on our shoulders with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to... He said that his work is easy and light. Trying to carry a burden that you think is a burden without first consulting the Lord, to know that this burden is of the Lord will not be helping you with that burden. But he says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, let's take my work upon you, because my work is easy and light. He said, you can't do anything without me. And he said, if you don't bear fruit, if I'm not with you, you can't bear fruit. You can't do anything like that. No spiritual thing. And he is like, puts people to the test. He wants to see if you're going to go through this, the wilderness. Now that's why they were so disobedient, these children of Israel, that he put them on the wilderness, in the wilderness for 40 years to try to get them to break them down. And so all of us are in a wilderness until you can shorten that wilderness walk up to just a few days or a few weeks if you just make up your mind to take the work of the Lord upon you. And that begins by loving him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Well, a lot of people balk at that, like a mule doesn't want to carry a light load. They don't want to carry a heavy load, but to the people that are disobedient, they consider what the Lord says to be light is heavy, because they are so full of their own will. And so the Lord keeps you out in the wilderness. You don't really feel his presence that much. You don't really want to hear from him that much. You'd rather have Moses or somebody else tell you what the Lord says. But you don't. So a nation of priests, the Lord has saved everyone in the congregation, their soul, he doesn't want them to be on the same terms with you as he was with the congregation of Israel. He wants you to be a priest, just like Aaron was a priest. Only this time, congregation of priests have the Spirit of the Lord in them now, as Aaron was anointed, but he didn't have the Lord living in him all the time. But we do, and so you cannot serve the Lord the way that the Old Testament says to serve the Lord, because now the whole congregation that are going to enter the kingdom of heaven are priests. They're rulers and kings, but God has appointed prophets, pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, the helpers for the edification of the congregation or the church. And so if you figure that, well, one man is supposed to do the preaching, the teaching, the evangelism, the prophesying, and everything, and all of you are just to sit down and not doing anything, you're heretics. Because the Lord wants everyone in the church to have different spiritual gifts. And the Lord wants every one of his priests, if you be a priest, to communicate with him and he with you, because you have the office of a priest. Whether you have anything else or not, you're a priest. And the priest must keep every commandment. That's how they're able to be holy and stay holy and to be perfect and stay perfect. That's how they're able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you've had your own idea of what the Lord is saying in the New Testament, but he says you're a new creature. You're not like an unsaved person that's going to church, because you happen to be the church. The Spirit of the Lord is in you. You're members of his body, and he wants you to be a priest and to officiate as a priest in the priesthood in the New Jerusalem. And so you're not going to do that if you don't have a desire to keep all the commandments. There's no possible way that God is going to commune to somebody that is rebellious against his commandments. And so this is why he keeps saying these are whole burnt offerings. You have to offer yourself, surrender your entire self over to the Lord so that you can be a priest. And if you're not a priest, you're not going to heaven. There's only one body, that's the body of God, Christ. There's only one spirit, which comprises of seven spirits of the Lord, but it's still one spirit, and that spirit has to be, and you have to be officiating. You have to be multiplying. You have to be ministering to the congregation in one way or the other, as the Spirit tells you to. Everyone has to be a partaker. It's like a, I don't know if I said in this tape regarding the, because I'm doing so many things, ministering every day, about the man that took his only son out to, did I mention that today?
Yesterday.
Or I mentioned that yesterday. Well, today, I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday, the Lord told me to give him $1,000 to help pay for the funeral. Well, as I, and then the woman called up today, she wanted some food in Detroit. And so there's some Christian people there that we know, that we send them $300, $200 for their ministry, and $100 to buy this person some food and to take it over. But we always ask them, if you're not too busy, could you do that? We don't say, here's $300, $200 for you and $100 for the person. Can you go over and deliver the food? No, we said, if you have time, could you, if you have time, would you for us? We're tithing $200 to your ministry, and we're sending an extra $100 for the person that needs the food, and she needs some clothes also. Can you send some food? We'll give you the $100. Will you do that? Can you do that? Oh, yes, we can. And incidentally, she said somebody, was it her son or whoever? Her grandson got shot in the temple just yesterday. And he's dead, and so she's going to have the funeral. And so I told him to call her back and see if they want, if she needs any help with the funeral, the costs, expenses. And we sent her a card. And she said the only thing she lacks so far as the funeral is concerned is $750. That's all that she owes the mortuary. And so I told the people that deal with the finances, that make out the checks, to send her a $750 cashier check. They said, shall we send it to the mortuary? I said, no, send it to her. Okay, so that she can pay it. I don't want her to be embarrassed. I want her to go down there with the money, all right? Okay, so these are things that we do all the time because she's part of the body of Christ, and I'm ministering unto them. Sending a card or saying some words, God bless you, and you know it's a better place. Your grandson is in a better place, and hallelujah, and you can rejoice that he's no longer in this world, but that he's, we should never want him to come back because he's in a place a lot better than where we are, and he would be angry if you tried to call him back to this earth, and so on and so forth. But no, here's some funeral expenses, and I want to comfort this person and help them. I want to minister to this person the way the Lord wants me to minister to him, because he's the one that put it on my heart to help out with the funeral expenses. I mean, to go down to a card company, to a card shop where they sell cards, and buy a Hallmark card, then all that does is helps the card company. And somebody's so grieved, they open up a card, and oh, it's just a stinking, you know, nobody knows the grief I'm in right now, but here's somebody that knows it because... Oh, there's a check there for $1,000. There's a check there for $750, and that's comforting because my God, when you're in such tragic times, and then you don't even have enough money to pay for the casket or the funeral services and everything, and somebody comes in, and just think if a lot of other Christians would come in with $100 or $200 or $500. That would take that burden off of you, and then you could realize, hey, there's Christianity. There's God living in these people. And that means that God was living in my grandson, and there he is up in the kingdom of heaven. Somebody murdered this boy because he's right-handed, but yet the bullet hole was on the left side of his temple, she said. Well, anyway, you know, we have to minister not just to the people in our church. We have to do that. In other words, the church is going to cave in. The congregation will cave in. It will not. It'll go to hell, too. And God will kill a bunch of the people that will not take these things that the Lord is attempting to teach you and is teaching you and you won't take them to heart. Okay? So read that last verse again. Verse what?
It was verse 15.
Okay, read it again.
The heave shoulder and the wave breast shall they bring with the offerings made by fire of the fat, to wave it for a wave offering before the Lord. It shall be thine and thy sons with thee by a statute forever, as the Lord hath commanded.
Right, this is like waving something, the shoulder. It's like we are scanning everywhere to see who needs our shoulder to help them up a bit. Some people, they just feel like there's no help from anybody in this world. And no Christian wants to go to the government. We don't want them to go to the government. We want them to know that the government of the Lord is here on this earth and that we're here to help. Amen?
Amen.
We want to show the Lord Jesus Christ in us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we want everybody in the church to be that way. And yet, definitely, sometimes people are not that well-versed in the Lord, and they'll say, well, this person needs help, and that person. I'll be the one that decides as to who it is. Just let me know when you know something like this is going on, and I'll ask the Lord. I'm not doing this on my own. The Lord told me to do these things. Amen?
Amen.
And so if anybody brings that kind of a situation to me, I will definitely pray about it. And not everybody is a prophet. Not everybody is an evangelist. A lot of people in this church think that everybody must be an evangelist. Everybody must be a prophet. Everybody must be a minister, a teacher, a preacher. We're all to minister what we have, whatever the Lord gives us to during the day. But there's offices in the Lord. And first of all, people have to learn to communicate, because a lot of people are told different things, the people that are in trouble, and they never utter a word about it. So that means that you're not a priest. You're not bringing these things before the prophet or the Sanhedrin, the elders, so that something can be done to help the people of the Lord. And in these last days, we're the minority here on earth, and there's so few people that will help Christians. And if we don't, nobody will. And the Lord expects us to do the work down here on this earth as He did when He was here. And He'll direct us by His Spirit to do it, but He wants us to do it. He wants us to win souls. Some people say, will you pray that this soul be saved? Baloney. Go out and witness to the soul. That's how the souls get saved, by the preaching of the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Not praying. Pray that the Lord will give you the Spirit, but then go out and preach it. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, now I'm teaching you the right word here. The right message regarding the priesthood. Okay, now let's continue on.
King James Version, verse 16. And Moses diligently sought the goat of the sin offering, and behold, it was burnt. And he was angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, the sons of Aaron, which were left alive, saying, verse 17, wherefore have ye not eaten the sin offering in the holy place, seeing it is most holy, and God hath given it to you to bear the iniquity of the congregation?
Here's the other two sons of Aaron. Like father, like son. Then what?
To make atonement for them before the Lord. Verse 18, behold, the blood of it was not brought in within the holy place. Ye should indeed have eaten it in the holy place, as I commanded. Verse 19, and Aaron said unto Moses, behold, this day have they offered their sin offering and their burnt offering before the Lord, and such things have befallen me. And if I had eaten the sin offering today, should it have been accepted in the sight of the Lord? Verse 20. And when Moses heard that, he was content.
Right. Okay, now, the interpretation, a small interpretation here. Then, go ahead.
Translation, verse 12 through 20. Then Moses said to Aaron and his remaining sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, quote, Take what is left of the grain offering after the handful has been presented to the Lord by fire. Make sure there is no yeast in it, and eat it beside the altar, for it is most holy. Verse 13. It must be eaten in a sacred place, for it has been given to you and your descendants as your regular share of the offerings, given to the Lord by fire. These are the commands I have been given. Bracket. That's why these five books of Moses are called the Law, or the Torah. The word Torah in Hebrew means law. The first five books of the Bible are called the Torah,
or
the law.
Also the Pentateuch. Okay, and then what else?
And bracket. Verse 14. But the breast and thigh that were lifted up may be eaten in any place that is ceremonially clean. These parts have been given to you and to your sons and daughters as your regular share of the peace offerings presented by the people of Israel. Verse 15. The thigh and breast that are lifted up must be lifted up to the Lord along with the fat of the offerings given by fire. Then they will belong to you and your descendants forever, just as the Lord has commanded. End quote. Verse 16. When Moses demanded to know what had happened to the goat of the sin offering, he discovered that it had been burned up. As a result, he became very angry with Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's remaining sons. Verse 17, quote, "Why didn't you eat the sin offering in the sanctuary area?" unquote, he demanded. Quote, "It is a holy offering!" exclamation mark. It was given to you for removing the guilt of the community and for making atonement for the people before the Lord. Verse 18. Since the animal's blood was not taken into the holy place, you should have eaten the meat in the sanctuary area as I ordered you. Unquote. Verse 19. Then Aaron answered Moses on behalf of his sons. Quote, "Today my sons presented both their sin offering and their burnt offering to the Lord," unquote. He said, quote, "This kind of thing has also happened to me. Would the Lord have approved if I had eaten the sin offering today?" Unquote. Verse 20, and when Moses heard this, he approved.
All right, that was the the end of chapter 10 of Leviticus, and now we go into some commentary.
10 verse 1. Nadab and Abihu also appear in Exodus 24 verse 1 and verse 9.
Yeah.
Okay. Quote, "And he said unto Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar." And verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. Unquote. Nadab and Abihu also appear in Exodus 24:1 and 9, where they are within a very select group of representatives of God to the people. They also were very close to Moses, the leader, and they were able to view the Lord's glory, the Shekinah glory, when it would come down in the most holy place. There was definitely a conflict within the priesthood between the group led by Nadab and Abihu and a group of the priests mentioned here who remained faithful to the sacred worship of the Lord as God had commanded them. These were led by Mishael and Elzaphan. Remember, this is the Levites, verse 4. The nature of their wrong, disobedience to the Lord, that is, they offered profane fire. Anything that is the opposite of what God said is profane. Now the Hebrew word for, quote, profane, unquote, is, quote, esh zara, unquote, which literally means, quote, strange, unquote, or, quote, foreign, unquote, fire, which seems to make reference to idolatrous worship. They had taken fire for their censers from a place other than the altar fire, which was the only legitimate fire for the worship to worship the Lord. There is some ancient Jewish interpretation of this that is taught that they were drunk or intoxicated when they came before the Lord, which intensified the gravity of their actions.
Right, because they were told not to be drinking or under the influence of alcohol while they're ministering, or to be in the tabernacle with any alcoholic beverages, so because they would do profane things if they did. And so it doesn't make any difference. Well, you know, they still got killed, whatever the reason was. Amen? Mm-hmm. Whether it's just a tradition or if it really happened or what, it still remains true that they were both killed and that it was God that killed them. So to him, it was extremely evil. Okay, whether it is to you or not makes no difference because God killed them. Okay, and you're not going to spare their life. There's a lot of bleeding hearts today that love to lick the wounds of the wicked people. And they'll say, well, they really didn't. They wouldn't have killed anybody if they weren't drunk. But God doesn't care about, people that are bleeding hearts that lick people's wounds. Or they wouldn't have killed people that on the streets when they're driving intoxicated. The Lord doesn't care. He kills you anyway, okay? So he's not a bleeding heart. He's not a simpering, whimpering, person that's just mushy over sinners. He tells us here that he takes them out. Okay? And there's no, you murder somebody, and it's because of the fact that you've put yourself in a position to where you're in a stupor, and you think you're going to get off the hook with the Lord. You can do that with these homosexual and evil judges that are sitting on the benches today. But you're not going to get away with it before the Lord. Amen? He's not like those people. You've got a bunch of liberal judges today that let the sinner get away with murder, and they persecute and prosecute the innocent. And the Lord will straighten that all out on Judgment Day. And he'll take a bunch of them out before that. I know the judge that ordered Susie was in a coma, and there was a judge in Little Rock that was trying to, it was the day before she died. She was in a coma, and he ordered marshals to come pull her bed out of her sick room to take her into a court. The doctor says, she'll die if you get her downstairs. And I was fighting him tooth and nail. And finally, the doctor called the judge up and told him how severe this was. And finally, after arguing with the judge for about 45 minutes, the judge says, all right, we'll just leave her there and we'll get, because the court wasn't going to be for a few days, and he was ordering her out of the hospital for something that she didn't even do, and she was in a coma. They didn't care. Marshals don't care. They just know that their master, these demonic judges, under the command of the Pope and the President, all reprobates, told them to just do it, and they'll do anything. They said, but we were ordered to do that. But when they stand before the Lord, you're not to take orders like that. When they stand before the Lord's going to send your soul right to hell. As it happened, this judge gave us such a hard time. It was about three months later, and this judge died. Cancer in the eyes. And before that, just to show you know that I was a person of the Lord, I told him, look, if there's any, I called him on the phone, I said, Judge, you know what you did and everything, and I hear you got cancer, but if there's anything I can do, you know, we can run an errand for you or something like that, we'd be glad to do that. Just so that the Lord would really do what he wants to do with him. He said, I have my own church, Tony. And he says, I'm all right. I'm not going to die. And 3 months later, he died. He wasn't healed. And he knows who was right and wrong now, if he didn't know here. Okay, then what?
See chapter 10, verse 9. The holiness of their worship was in jeopardy when the priests offered fire other than that which was commanded by God.
Yeah, people, they do-it-yourself kits. The Lord tells them to do it this way, and then they decide to change the words around, and then, there's fire over here. We can take it from here. I mean, nobody's going to care. You got to do it exactly the way the Lord says, okay? You think you got a better way than the Lord says? That's where a lot of people think they do. And that's where they really go astray. It's too bad that they like to use their carnal brains. I know how much of a terrorist the Lord is, and how he's very strict and wants it done exactly his way. And he hates people that are so proud that they figure out a different way than what the Lord says. They're not only evil, they're sick. Very sick in their head, people. Okay, then what else?
The same manifestation of fire which had earlier shown approval was now sent by God in judgment. 10 verse 2. 10 verse 6. Do not uncover. Clothes. Are prohibitions against mourning their deaths. Instead, they were to remain totally dedicated to God's tasks. When people are mourning, they put on sackcloth, and they put on clothes of mourning, but they were not to do this. Verse 7. 10 verse 9. This is Old Testament. The priests were commanded, this is the law, not to drink wine or intoxicating drink while ministering in the tabernacle. Well, are you in the tabernacle? Is Jesus in the holy tabernacle, which is you? We never know when we are going to be witnessing in our tabernacle, and when the Lord...
Well, which is really the Lord's tabernacle. Okay, then what?
And when we never know when we are going to be witnessing in our tabernacle, which is the Lord's tabernacle, and when the Lord wants us to. So therefore, we are not supposed to be drinking strong drink or wine.
We are commanded not to, when we're in the Lord and the Lord is in us, we're commanded not to do that, all right? Because he filled us with the Holy Spirit, and we don't need that. That's the wine. Okay, then what else?
We are not supposed to be drinking strong drink or wine because we never know when we're going to be called upon to witness.
And we never know when we're going to be called upon to give up the ghost, the spirit. You never know, do you? Okay, so it's better to just obey the Lord and go the extra mile. It's better to, somebody asks you for something, give them twice as much just to make sure you're off the hook. Amen?
Amen.
Better be safe than sorry. Amen?
Amen?
Right, then what?
The reason for that is it impairs, and it does anyone's, ability to make wise decisions or to minister in the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, the people of Israel were to donate wine and strong drink to the Levites. They were allowed to drink it, but not while they were in the tabernacle. But now we have become the tabernacle. The Lord is in the tabernacle, and so are we. So we are not able to drink strong drink or wine or beer at all.
Praise the Lord. That was Leviticus chapter 10. Lord willing, we'll be doing chapter 11 this evening, or tomorrow. And until then, concentrate on these things, the priesthood, that you're a priest. And if you don't think you are, then you don't have faith to believe that you're saved either. And if you're not saved, and you have no intention of being saved, this church is not the place for you. This church is for people that are saved, and people that want to be saved, and people that want to minister one way or another unto the Lord, to seek His Spirit, to let Him minister from within us, to work Himself into us and to work Himself out of us. He can only work Himself into a broken vessel, and He can only work Himself out of a broken vessel. God can't use people that aren't totally changed, totally burned out of their old life by the Holy Spirit. He can't use an unbroken vessel. That's why He loves those that have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. Anybody walking around proud or haughty, He can't use those kind of people. Or that sass back, or do things their own way. The Lord has given pastors, preachers, teachers, evangelists, all these different helps for the edification, in other words, the teaching of the church. And the church is to receive the teachings so that the Lord can live out his life within his body, which is you. Okay, we are the body of Christ. So you are not your own. You're the body of Christ. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You have to receive the teachings, which are the most important teachings in the world. There's nothing that can compare to it. And there isn't anything as vital as knowing and learning what the Lord says and then doing it. There's nothing of anything else in this world is important but that. The whole duty of man is to just fear God and keep his commandments. So be a priest and concentrate on that. Think about that all day. Meditate on it. Think about it. Meditate. Think. Same thing. And you'll be like trees planted by water, living water. Till then, keep looking up. God bless you and praise the Lord.